WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. What if we could block a protein to stop runaway cell division? Dana-Farber laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Jamie Floyd, and for Brian Lehrer, there are new clues in the hunt for what causes autism and why it seems to be on the rise. A new study of twins concludes that environmental factors may account for more of the risk of developing autism than genes do, and other studies are pinpointing what some of those environmental risks might be. Joining me to talk about these new studies is Time Magazine's Alice Park. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
So once again, the answer to the question, nature or nurture, is both. Tell us this twin study. Tell us all about it, how it showed that environment and genes play a role in the development of autism. They looked at identical twins, huh, who share all the same genes, and fraternal twins who only share some genetic material but all environmental factors. What did that show, Alice?
Well, the question of what causes a complex disorder like autism is obviously an interesting one, and clearly both nature and nurture do play a role. But what researchers have been trying to figure out is how much do genetics contribute and how much do environmental factors contribute to this developmental disorder. And what these scientists did was they compared identical twins and fraternal twins. And as we know, since identical twins share genetic material and fraternal twins do not, fraternal twins are, you know, about as alike in their DNA as ordinary siblings are, they were able to really figure out how much of the contribution to autism might be coming from genes and how much might be coming from environmental factors. So if you think about identical twins, they have the same genetic material. The chances that both twins would be autistic, they looked at that and they calculated that among a group of nearly 200 twin pairs. And then they also calculated the chance that both fraternal twins were autistic. And if you assume that a lot of the contribution comes from genes, you would expect a very, very high rate of what they call concordance, in other words, both twins being autistic among the identical twins, and a very, very low rate among the fraternal twins. However, that's not what they saw. Certainly the identical twins were more likely to be autistic, but the rate among fraternal twins was higher than they expected. It was higher than what you would normally find among siblings. Hmm. So that tells you that, you know, there is a greater than we previously expected contribution from the environment.
Now, Alice, when we say environment, are we talking about the womb, or are we talking about the external environment, the wider world?
That's a very good question, and I think they're still trying to figure that out. Primarily at this point, since autism normally manifests before age two, we're probably talking about factors that are occurring in the womb. So while it's not really clear yet what those factors might be, some of the things that might be contributing are things such as the womb environment, in which case when you have a multiple birth, so you've got twins or triplets, that environment looks slightly different than if you have a singleton birth. So it could be something about being a multiple that's exerting some type of effect. Potentially the mother's age, advanced age of both either the mother or the father could be playing effect, as well as any infections the mother might have had during pregnancy. And interestingly, in the same journal in which this twin study came out, there was another study showing that things such as antidepressant use among among mothers who are expecting may also play a role. So all of these factors, you know, we don't know how much each one contributes, but we're becoming more aware that they may be playing a more important role than we previously thought in contributing to autism.
And I want to ask you about that second study, but first, to finish up with this twin study, how significant is it? Will it change where other scientists looked for the actual environmental risk factors?
Well, understanding that, for example, what this study showed, that up to 55% of autism may be attributable to environmental factors, understanding that is really important because that means that we should focus our attention not just on the genes, not just on the DNA, when we're trying to look for ways to either diagnose this condition or treat it. And this shows us that we need to be very aware of what the mother is exposed to while she's expecting, as well as be more cognizant of what factors there might be in the womb that are modifiable. We don't know what they might be. We don't know if they are modifiable. But if there are things that we can intervene and hopefully lower the risk, then we should be looking there. And that's what this study basically tells us, mm-hmm. is that we shouldn't limit ourselves to just the genetic factors and genetic intervention.
And an earlier study that you've written about found that even the genetic factors are pretty complicated. For example, they're not necessarily inherited, but stem from spontaneous changes in genes. So could environmental factors play a role in causing genetic factors?
Absolutely. And I think what we're learning and coming to appreciate with both this twin study as well as the study you're referring to is the fact that environment and genes really interact with each other. So it's not all or nothing. It's not, you know, X genetic factor has, you know, this percent effect and this environmental factor has this percent effect. It's really a very complex interaction. And the previous study that I had written about showed that some of the even genetic changes that we attribute to autism are due to environmental influences. So this is the growing understanding that we have of how genes are affected not just by what you inherit from your mom and dad, but also by things that you're exposed to in the environment that can affect how much those genes are activated, how much they're turned on or off. And those seem to be playing an important role in autism as well, particularly in cases where there isn't much of a family history.
Now, tell us a little bit about that other study you mentioned out this week, one of the risk factors being antidepressants a mother may take during pregnancy.
Well, this study was begun because we understand that autism is a developmental disorder that's been on the rise. You know, since the 1960s, we've had really a tenfold increase in prevalence of autism and autism spectrum disorders. And certainly some of that is due to our better awareness and better ability to diagnose the condition. But on the other hand, you know, genes can't explain all of that because our genes don't change that quickly in a few decades. So the researchers who were interested in looking at what other factors might be contributing to this increase in autism, and they obviously focused on the mother and things that she might be exposed to while she's pregnant. And depression is more common, I think, than more people think in pregnant women. And there are a small proportion of women who do get treated for depression with antidepressants, particularly with the SSRI, such as Prozac and Zoloft. So these scientists focused specifically on looking at these antidepressants and looking at the rate of autism among women who are taking these medications. And they found that, indeed, women who were prescribed SSRIs are twice as likely to have autistic children as those who aren't. Now, certainly this is a correlation. It's not causative. This doesn't mean that every woman who is prescribed an antidepressant and who takes it will then go on to have an autistic child, but it certainly raises our awareness of factors that we should be looking at, particularly during pregnancy, that might be playing a role.
Now, doctors aren't calling for women to go off these medications if they're pregnant, right?
Certainly not. And depression is a very serious disease, and it should be treated. So this study raises a very interesting question about what women who are concerned or who've been diagnosed with depression should do if they are pregnant. Certainly, it should warrant a discussion with their doctor about what their risks are. There are alternatives to treating depression that might also come into the equation that they should discuss with their doctor. But for women who are currently on antidepressants and who are pregnant, you know, they certainly should not stop without discussion with their prescribing therapist.
So, Alice, in closing, are things getting more complex, or are they getting clearer?
Well, in a way, they are getting more complex because we are, enhancing our understanding of all the various factors mm-hmm. that might be contributing to a disease like autism. And so from the one side, yes, it's getting more complex. We're getting more players. But on the other hand, you know, as we understand those complexities, we also will have moments of clarity. So, you know, out of that complexity will come a better understanding of how genes and environment interact and how environmental factors might be playing a role in autism. And
Thank
therefore,
you,
it
Alice.
Might open up new ways to treat it.
Thank you, Alice Park.